morning. It's not morning. It's evening. You got a phone? If you do, could you please silence it? Go to Genesis chapter 3, please. What I'd like to share with you this evening is regarding anger. Anger, it's not a good thing. And it's something that the adversary uses against every one of us. Because he is the God of this world, he is able to manipulate the world and situations to get us mad. And anger in and of itself is not bad, but it's when you continue to dwell in it and harbor it and act upon it, that's when it can become dangerous. And everybody goes through the day and everybody's tempted to be mad, either with the road, with the weather, with your lunch, with your spouse, your children, you're just tempted. In Genesis 3, in verse 1, familiar record with regards to the adversary. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. In the garden of God, where everything was wonderful and everything was perfect, you have the presence of an enemy. He had access to the garden. And he's called the serpent here. Look at Revelation 12. If the enemy could get into the garden of God, could there be a possibility that the enemy could get into your garden? Right? Or your home, or your job, or your car, right, when you're driving down the road. Revelation 12, verse 7 says there was a war in heaven. It was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old what? Serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and what?
Night.
Here you see that the devil is called by the name serpent, that old serpent. And it was the same devil, the same serpent that was in the garden in the book of Genesis that is in the book of Revelation. And he is called the accuser of our brethren. For he accuses them before God day and night. In other words, you and I got to go to sleep, right? I mean, you might be able to go a day or two, but sooner or later, you got to go to sleep. But you know what? The devil's worse than that Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going and going. He has spirit power operating in him and fueling him. So he doesn't have to sleep. And day after day, night after night, that's what he does. He accuses us. And then you know what he wants us to do? he would love it if he could get us to accuse each other. Then if he can get us to do his job, he can leave us alone like a top. Did you ever spin a top when you were little? And the top spins and you just walk away and then you go and he can bother somebody else and he'll just come back around and he'll just give you a little tap to keep you spinning. Every once in a while he'll check in on you, make sure you're spinning. That's the way he works. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. And in Ephesians 4, we have the scripture that I want to look at tonight concerning anger. It says in verse 21, "If so be that you have heard him, and you have been taught about him." They weren't taught by Jesus Christ, they were taught about Jesus Christ. They were taught the truth about Jesus Christ, as the truth is in Jesus. So the people at Ephesus heard the word of God, and they were taught the word of God about Jesus Christ, and they knew that the word taught about Jesus Christ was truth. It was truth. And he says, since you've heard this and you've been taught about it, then so many times we hear over and over again, in you know, the last years especially, we just don't want to be hearers of the word. We want to be what? Doers of the word. We want to apply God's word. So if you've heard these things and you've been taught about him and you know that it's the truth that you've been taught about in Jesus, put off the former conversation of the old man, because it's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See? Every one of us has to do that. And every one of us has a different opportunity that we need to deal with in our lives. But the word encourages us and tells us, you've learned the truth, you've heard the truth, you know it's true. Now, since you know that, I want you to act on it, is what God's saying. And he's saying, put it off. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness. And this is true holiness. This is true holiness. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, you always hear about Ephesians and how wonderful, and it's the greatest revelation given to the church and whatever, and it's doctrinal and such and such and such. Well, he tells them to put away what? Lying. To put away lying. See, that's doctrine. Put away lying. It's not good to lie. Now, if it's this, you know, now we turn around and we say, well, it was just a white lie. It white, black, pink, whatever. If you have a little white lie, it's going to lead to a bigger one. Just put away lying. And then we come to the verse 26 where it says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Mark chapter 3, please. It says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In Mark chapter 3, there's a familiar record to everyone. He is about the man who was in the synagogue and he had a withered hand. And in Mark 3 verse 1, it says, Jesus entered into the synagogue, and there was a man which had a withered hand. And they, the religious people, watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his other hand was restored whole as the other. See? He was angry, Jesus Christ. We know from other sections in the Word of God that Jesus Christ never sinned. So he had what we would, and but if I could take poetic license, literary license, whatever you want to call it, he had righteous anger. There is a righteous anger. But even a righteous anger, if it starts out one way, if you hold on to it too long and you don't deal with it in a proper way, can turn into an unrighteous anger. Okay, so you can start out being right, but you know what? When it's time to dump it, it's time to dump it. This man had a great deliverance in his life. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 gives you a bit of information that Mark doesn't regarding the same man. In Luke chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "And it came to pass also," Luke 6:6, "on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose," what hand?
Right.
It was his right hand that was withered. It was bad enough that the guy had a withered hand. But the right hand was the hand of blessing in the east. So to have your right hand withered was adding insult to injury. See? And this guy, when he stood up and he got delivered, he was able to bless again with his right hand. That's how big of a deliverance it was. Now look at Ephesians, please, once again. Ephesians chapter 4. Pardon my back. Ephesians 4 says, "Be angry and sin not." It's not a command to be angry. That's not what it's about. It's about that if it happens, it happens. But in that anger, your anger doesn't have to lead to and end in sin. All right? It says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And I've taught you this before, and I still believe it's a truth tonight. I don't believe, as some of us were taught in the past, that you need to deal with something in a 24-hour period. I don't believe that this is talking about a 24-hour period with the rising and the setting of the sun. Because you know, if you've lived life a little bit, that the worst thing you can do is try to deal with a situation when both parties are still fuming. That's the worst thing you can do. And all it does is elevate and escalate into a mess. I believe what the Word of God is teaching here, it's teaching us by a figure and not literal. Because the sun cannot go down upon your wrath, literally. I mean, if it's a period of time, I believe it's teaching us, it's pointing us to a near period of time where you can get together and settle it. I don't think it means months. I think it's talking about if you need to have a couple days to let things settle and you can think level-headed about it, then it's okay. But get it handled as soon as you can. That's what I believe that the heart of the verse is teaching. To not just forget about it. Because when you forget about it, that's a bad thing. Because that's only out of sight, out of mind. And then when you see that person, you're just going to think evil again. Because that's just, the devil's going to be sure to push the play button on your video in your mind. And it's all going to just over and over again. So deal with it, but deal with it in an appropriate time and an appropriate place. I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you've been angry at somebody or something. And then you've taken a night and you got rest, or you're taking 2 days and you got whatever, and then the sting isn't as fresh and as bitter as it is when it first happened. And perhaps when you would endeavor to handle the situation, if you handled it real close to the time of the trespass, perhaps that if you waited a little bit longer that you could think with a level head, you'd be able to handle that situation better. It says, "Be angry," or "in your anger, be angry and sin not." Don't sin. But don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, deal with it as best as you can, as soon as you can. Then you have this verse where it says, "Neither give place to the devil." And that's what I want to look at tonight. The word "give" in the Greek means to grant or to give to one asking. It means to let have. See, the adversary, we read earlier in Revelation, accuses the brethren, night and day before God, right? Remember, it's a 24-hour thing. You ever see those restaurants or diners, 7/24, it says open? That's the devil. He's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and he continually accuses. He's continually after the believer over and over and over and over again. He's always looking for a way. So when you give place to him, when you give, you grant him. He's always looking. You give him permission. It says, don't neither give place. Don't grant him. Don't let him have it. The word place is the word that means opportunity. It's the word that is also means power. Another meaning, definition for the word place in the Greek is occasion for acting. It's an occasion for acting. Don't give him an occasion into your life. Don't give him power in your life. Don't give him an opportunity to work in your life. See? And that's what this here does right here. This is what anger does. Anger gives the devil an opportunity. It gives him power to work in your life. This is anger. If you could picture anger as a tie or a rope, whatever you want to call it, it's an attachment. Okay? It's not the kind of anger that you shoot the guy, the bird, that pulled down in front of you in Burger King. That's not that kind of anger I'm talking about. It's not the kind of anger that when you get mad at your kid for dumping Kool-Aid on the rug. That's not the kind of anger I'm talking about. Everybody gets angry. Everybody goes through things. The Bible says that we can do that and we can deal with it in a healthy way. There are healthy ways to deal with situations, and there are unhealthy ways to deal with situations. This kind of anger that gives power, gives opportunity, gives place to the devil is the kind of anger that you hold on to. You hold on to the anger, see? He's holding on to the anger. He's not letting the anger go. And the problem with that kind of anger is that when you hold on to it, there's something at the other end. And you know what's at the other end? The devil. Now, give place, give power, give opportunity. You know what happens if you got a wire and you put it in that there socket behind that table? You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get a perm. Maybe not you, but everybody else here get a perm. You'll get toasted. Right? Because it does what? It connects you to that source. And it allows whatever is in that source to transfer from that to you. You understand that, right? Now, that doesn't mean that everything that the devil has is going to zap you. But what it means is, why would you want to be holding on to something that's going to link you to the devil? And you know what? Anger, what are them wires? They put a bunch of wires in a cable. What was that called?
Fiber optic,
whatever. If you get like a bunch of wires in a cable, 10 or 12 wires, okay? They're insulated. They each have insulation. And the cable's about that big. You got like 12 wires. Remember the old phone wires? You come through four in a cable?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here you got. Pardon my back again. This is anger. This is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is just another link, just another tie that connects you to the devil. And once you're linked into that, he's able to transmit and transfer back to you. But see, you're the one who's making the connection. Come on, the old switchboard, remember? Let me plug it in here. Get it? Let me plug it in here. Well, that's what you got going on here spiritually, and you don't see it. With the anger, and you want to hold on to the anger, and you think, and because, you know, we all got a right to be angry, because you don't have a clue that that's the devil whispering that in your ear. you have a right to be angry. Do you remember what he did to you? And he'll just keep telling you that and tell you. You know why? Because he doesn't want to break this connection. He doesn't want to be disconnected. Right? You know what happens when he gets disconnected? What happens when you get disconnected? Does that make you happy? You say, that SOB hung up on me. Right? But you know what? You can no longer be tormented by the other person on the other end of the line, can you, when you get disconnected? Okay. So what's another link to him?
Bitterness.
There you go. Bitterness. You are a bitter person, and you think you got a right to be bitter? You do, because it's free will, but your bitterness is linking you to the adversary, and he's able to transfer back to you through that line of bitterness things that you don't want in your life. Trust me. Who knows another one?
Hatred.
Resentment. Hatred, resentment. You get the idea. And I'm not talking about being temporarily ticked off at somebody or saying something stupid out of your mouth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you start dwelling on that stuff. Because like I taught you before, those things there will eventually take a life on of their own, and then you won't have to hold on to them anymore. They will hold on to you. And they will give the adversary a right to come into your life, into your house, into your home, into the lives of your children, into the lives of your co-workers, your business, whatever, and torment you and aggravate you. And it's hard enough, I don't know about you all, but it's hard enough in this day and time keeping your house clean, trying to keep your children straight and your marriage on the word without walking around linked into the adversary. And most people aren't even aware of this spiritual truth because it's invisible. And this is what happened. And you know what we do? We like zone out. I sent a text out the other day. And one of the responses from the text I got was from Janet Pinchuk. She was in Maryland. She said, thank you for reminding me of such and such. We get so busy in this world, we forget to take time for the things of God. And that's what happens. We just get so gone in the world that we forget the things of God. And this is one of the things of God. This is giving place, giving opportunity, giving a chance to the devil. We link in with him, and then when we form a link with him, there's communication that goes back and forth. And not only does communication happen, make available, but transferring of information, transferring of other things becomes available. You don't have to live a perfect life. This isn't the kind of anger 2 or 3 days. This isn't the kind of resentment 2 or 3 days. I'm not talking about that kind of resentment, that kind of anger, that kind of bitterness. That's normal. People get over it. I'm talking about weeks into months into, that's the kind I'm talking about. Month after month after month. Harboring it, living in it, not forgiving someone. You know, people don't forgive people for years. For years. I told you the funeral stories. They don't see people for years, and they spit at them in the casket. It's, when was the last time you saw them? 30 years ago? Well, you think they, you know, after 30 years. No, they pick it up where they left off. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. And that stuff makes you miserable. So if you want to get rid of this kind of junk and you want to make sure that you don't have it, and again, I'm not talking about 1, 2 days type of thing. I'm talking about, and you know if you got it, you know if you've been persistent in this for years or months, you know it. Hang up on the devil. Break the connection. You might start to free your life up in some areas that are completely unrelated in your mind and find that things might start flowing for you a little bit easier when you do some of this stuff. Because he has a way of coming in the back door and choking you from behind. Look at Psalm 37, please. You don't want to give him place, an opportunity, or power, or an occasion for acting in your life. You know? Like I said, I got a hard enough time keeping me straight. I don't need to be connected to somebody else subtly telling me or subtly edging me, subtly, you know, giving me thoughts about whatever. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. People hate this next part of it. And wait how?
Patiently.
Patiently for him. People just have a hard time with patience. They don't have patience. And you know, our world promotes, we have to have it yesterday, right? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently with him. The Hebrew for rest in means, listen to this, it means be silent. Means be silent. That's what the Hebrew word means. You'll never have rest if you're going like this all the time. Just quiet. God's saying, shut up. Be patient. That's what he's saying. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now, have you ever been tempted with that? Looking at the guy down the street, or looking at this politician, or looking at this and looking at that, and you're here doing the best you can with whatever, and you start to fret. It's a fretting. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. What's that lead to? Verse 8, it says, cease from what? From anger and forsake wrath. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do what?
Evil.
Yeah. Why? Because we all want to justify our actions. And you start thinking about it, and this guy did this, and look at me, he's this, and then Bible says, fret not. It says, cease from anger. Don't get mad about it. Because when you're angry, you know what you do? You want to strike out. You want to hurt. You want to make someone else unpleasant. Actually, the Bible has a verse that two brothers, and it says the one was comforting himself in that he's going to kill his brother. It's about Esau and Jacob. Mm-hmm. Right? He says he does comfort himself in killing his brother. He hated his for stealing his birthright. He hated his brother so bad that it would be a comfort to him to kill him. Okay? Bible says, cease from anger. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. The New International translates verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Verse 9, evildoers will be cut off. There's a verse in the New Testament, what's it say? Vengeance is mine and I will repay, saith the Lord, right? So whose job is that? God will take care of things. He says here in Psalms, evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit what?
The earth.
The earth. They shall inherit the earth. Look at Proverbs 15. Every one of us can learn a lesson about anger. And it depends on your makeup. It depends on how you grew up and, you know, different things. Some people are predisposed to anger because of their ethnic background more so than others. You know, did you tell them about Mrs. Twinambi at all? Well, before you guys all got here, we went to visit Mrs. Twinambi. You can keep her in your prayers. And as we were sitting there with her, Carmen was there. I told Carmen, I said, when your mother would pray in fellowship, it would make people cry because her heart was so pure and so tender. Did you ever get around a person who was just so pure and so tender that you just, like that brother from Africa that was here the other week. Just hearing him speak, he was just so meek, and it was wonderful to hear. Well, that's how Mrs. Twinambi, when she would pray, her prayer was that of like a three-year-old. There was no malice, no guile, no hatred, no bitterness, no nothing in her prayer. See? Psalm, or Proverbs 15, I said 15, right? The NIV of verse 18, it says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a what? A quarrel. See, again, you see the word patient, right? If people have more patience, they'll be less angry. Patience is a good thing. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 32. Look at God's estimation, God's reckoning about anger. 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Okay. He's talking about the mighty. He's talking about taking a city. That's an act of aggression. That's a war. That's powerful to be able to accomplish that. But God says, he that is slow to anger is better than that. In God's eyes, it's better for you to be slow to anger than someone who's strong and someone that can take a city. That's God's opinion. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, please. But again, slow to anger. You're not going to be slow to anger unless you're patient. You can't be flying off the handle all the time. You can't be running your mouth all the time. You cannot be answering the question or responding to something when the other guy's not even done talking. You ever see that? You're not even done. The words aren't even out of your mouth completely to form this sentence, which I very seldom do. Even when I am talking, right? And the other person is, that's not slow to anger. That's not listening to the other side. That's not giving God a chance to work. That's not walking away and saying, well, let me think about this for a while. You know, because it's like a jousting tournament, you know. Okay, well, you struck. Now I got to strike. And now I got to. No, that's not what it's about. It says, ye which are spiritual, if someone's overtaken in a fault, you're supposed to what?
Restore.
Help them. Restore them. Not destroy, right? But to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That has to be your heart. And you see, and if at least one of you is, if you're too involved, right? If at least one of you is have this kind of attitude, then you got hope. Because you're the voice of reasoning in that discussion or in that argument, right? But if both of yous don't have this, lack it, then you got a problem. Because all that's going to happen is it's going to escalate into a big fight and you're going to say things that you shouldn't say. And you're going to hurt people in the depth of their soul where it takes a really long time for that wound to heal. You know, you can say certain things to people, and it's like, you're whatever. But then you can say things that are really hurtful. And you know why you do that? Because you reach down real low. Because you're losing the argument. Because you don't like the words being said to you. So you know what? I'm pulling out all the punches there. There's no stops now. I'm reaching down into the bottom, into the gutter. And I'm going to grab something so foul, so low, so hurtful, that when I throw it at you, you're just going to be, there's not going to be any more wind in you. And then you know what you do? You pat yourself on the back, and you say, oh, I won the fight. You didn't win anything. You didn't win a damn thing. You made it worse. You won something making a person feel like whatever. You got a bad definition of winning. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be what?
Angry.
For anger resteth in the bosom of what?
Fools.
There you go. So you see a person who's always angry. You see a person who's real quick to get angry. You know what the Bible says that type of a person is?
Fool.
It's a fool. How can you deal with a fool? You can't sometimes. Best way to deal with a fool is just walk away from them. And you know how stupid they are sometimes? You walk away, you go to the refrigerator, okay? You stop at the pantry, you get two pieces of bread. Now that takes time. You get the cheese, you get the ham, you put the mustard on the bread, then you get a knife and you go like this to make it nice. That's how she does it, my wife does it. Put the bread, and the cheese and the ham, and then the lettuce, then the tomato. Put it like this, you cut the damn thing in quarters, right? You grab yourself a Coke, you eat the sandwich, drink the Coke, walk back into the room, and you know what? They ain't skipped a beat. They're still gone, and they don't even know you're gone. Because they're that's nice, honey. Good night. Walk upstairs. That's a fool. That's a fool. The Bible says, don't be hasty in your spirit to be angry. It's not a good thing. You want to be hasty in your spirit to be something? Be faithful. Be loving. Be forgiving. Work on that. But not on being angry. Being a mean person, an angry person. You know, because you can insult someone and hurt them. This guy that works for me, right? I nicknamed him Joey Who. That's not his name. His first name's Joey, but he told me he took his grandmother out, his wife's grandmother. He was clear to make that. It was my wife's grandmother. We took her out to dinner. It cost me $165. He says, on her side of the family, there are a bunch of blue bloods. And they like to look down on you. One guy was a professor, the other guy was a doctor, and whatever. Well, Joey's from the streets, but Joey's no slouch. But he only had a regular high school education, and that was it. So they go to an Indian restaurant, and they're all sitting around the Indian restaurant, and the waiter comes over, and Joey says, speaks to this guy in one of the languages, right? And they all, that's what they did, Cratchit. They all like, and they looked at him and they said, where did you learn to speak Indian? He said, there's no such thing as Indian. It's either Hindi or such and such, right? And then they even felt worse when he said that, right? Then they said, well, what did you say to him? He said, well, you just got done telling me you're a doctor and you speak German, you speak this. You should know what I said to him. Listen, people are just going to rub you the wrong way, and they're going to make you mad. They're going to make you mad. And what I have learned in life is that the people who should be the intelligent ones, who should be the ones that are leading us, whether in politics or education or whatever, are the worst ones. You will find more of common sense and God's word on a farm in Oklahoma where those people have nothing, and they get up every morning and pray and read their Bible and work their fields. You'll find more love and common sense and biblical values in those kind of people than you will at any political meeting you ever go to or any college campus you go to, for the most part, in this country. That's the truth. Now, that's not to knock education or to knock whatever, but the America has replaced God with education. The new God for America is education. Let me rephrase that. Among the list of the new gods for America is education. And it's a sad thing. Now, I know people that are working on a master's degree right now, spending $50,000 a year, personally. This is not hearsay, personally. And this person couldn't tie their shoes if their life depended on it. That's true. There's no way in the world that this person should be admitted into a college working on a master's degree. And you know what's scarier than that? This person is going to get a master's degree, and they're going to go into the field of counseling and stuff, and they're going to screw a whole bunch of people up with their logic. If I introduce you to this person is a basket case, a wreck, honestly. And this person is going to get a master's degree. Something's wrong drastically with our something drastically our systems, our values. And that means you go to school. I mean, I still have a brain. You can't, but you make sure that you go to school, have your mind screwed and what's wrong, and there what you get. City schools are tuned. But you make sure that you go to school, have your mind screwed down and what's right there to get what you got to get. But today, so many schools are tuned to get. City schools are tuned. You got many rural schools and rural colleges. I want to teach you the way of politics. So you get out thing your way. And act your way with sport day. I want to teach you lay politics. So that when you get out, think your way and act your way with sport day, you will not argue more. You will not argue about abortion. You will not argue about homosexuality. You will not argue about anything. You will be so desensitized to the truth, it'll be sickening. The Bible is still the greatest university that you can attend. Right here. This is the greatest source of knowledge in the world. And not only that, this holds the keys to eternal life. This is the greatest textbook you could read if you want to know about marriage, if you want to know about economics, if you want to know about finances, if you want to know about war and debt and prison. This is the greatest book in the world to read. And people, for the most part, they spit on it. Proverbs 19, please. We'll close there. So you go through life, you're going to get mad. It's okay. It's going to happen. And you want to know something? Sometimes you're going to get mad where you shouldn't get mad. And that's okay too. Just ask God to forgive you for messing it up. That's all. Everybody's going to do it. God's given us the chance to go back to Him. But don't hold on to something. Don't think you got a right to hold on to something. You don't have a right to hold on to something. No matter. And you know, when we work with people that have been raped, when we work with people that have been abused and beat, one of the things I got to do with those people many times to get them to the point where they can receive God's deliverance in their life is I got to get them to forgive the perpetrator. Now, sense knowledge wise, that makes no sense. Makes absolutely zero sense. But I can tell you from experience that if I don't do that, they don't get set free. But when I do that, and I go like this, the devil can't hold on to them anymore. He got no right there anymore. And they get set free. I try to set them free, and they got all these things going on, and you know what he's doing? He's over there like this. And you know what it is? It's a tug of war. And guess who's in the middle? I'm on one side, and the devil's on the other side, and who's in the middle? And who's the one who's getting beat up? Who's the one who's getting tormented? Who's the one that's getting... That's why when you read about these stories and you see so many things on TV when people are getting thrown around and people are getting this and this is happening, that's why. Because he's over there pulling. Remember I told you about the nails? Did I ever tell you about the nails? I got a board out there on my deck. You know what happened? The nail popped up. So you know what I do? I get the hammer. You know why? I hit the nail back down. Why? Because I want to keep the board in place. Well, that's what the devil sees. He sees the nails popping up. So you know what he does? He walks around with a hammer. You know what he does? He hitting the nails down. You start thinking about anger, you start thinking about a person, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, the nails start popping up. If God's gelled it in your heart tonight, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to do his best before you leave here to get the hammer and the nails down. Because he wants to keep you in prison. Don't let him hit the nails down. Pull them out and be free. See? It's that easy. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a what?" Now, how would you like to have that as your attitude when you're dealing with something? Instead of, I'm the one that's always got to be wrong, or I'm the one that's always got to eat this, or I'm the one that's always getting yapped on. Listen to the NIV. "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." Sense notch wise, what does the census tell us? I'm going to get even, right? Mm-hmm. Let me get my ball. Let me get my bat. I'm going to beat this. What does the Bible teach us? It is to his glory to overlook a what? An offense. God says it's a good thing. It's a good thing. See, we just got the world and we got our own thoughts and we got all these things telling us one thing. We need to put on the mind of Christ. We need to get rid of those things in the past and we need to put on these thoughts. And then when we, you know, we act on them and when we mess up, so we get back online. But we don't get online with him. Right? No. We get online with God. Okay? Because that's not a good person to be tied into or a good thing. So, Father, thank you that we can be our best for you, not because we're trying to earn it, any acceptance in our lives, but because we just want to live this life that's more than abundant, and the way to do that is to live it your way. Thank you that we did have Jesus Christ as an example, and he didn't hold bitterness, neither should we. He didn't hold unforgiveness, neither should we. He was not resentful, Father, neither should we. So on and so forth, because we want to walk in his steps, Father. And we thank you for this evening. Thank you for a wonderful time. And I pray now, and once again, for Mrs. Tornambi, Father, and for you just blessing her and giving her comfort and peace. And Father, just give her rest. Thank you for Carmen. Thanks for all of the family. I thank you for Michael getting here, Carmen's son, and blessing him and the new life that he'll be beginning. Thank you for his employment. Thank you for his housing as he stays with his father and just all the things ahead this year for that young man. I thank you for your blessing upon him. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Amen.